So everyone likes to have a nice lie-in, and when the clocks change in October, you get an extra hour in bed, which I really love. I think that's great to enjoy that. But some people like to go and shiver in a tent, a tiny little tent, cold and wet for an extra hour in the om. And so this is episode 28. My name is Finlay Wilde. This is Go Mountain Goats. And today we're going to be talking to Victoria Thompson and Janie Oates down in Kendal at the moment. They're two runners from Helm Hill Runners, also based out of Kendal. And we're going to talk about the OM. So welcome, both of you.
Thanks.
Very much for agreeing to chat.
Thanks for asking us. Yeah.
So I think the initial part, basically the reason I was keen to chat to you is one of the reasons was there was a really cool interview by Becky Vale at Kendal Mountain Festival last year with the two of you talking about the OM, the 53rd OM, which was in Langdale last October 2022, where you were the first female team in the elite category. And in fact, I think you were the first female elite finishers since 2016.
Yes.
Yeah.
So... yeah, I think it'd be really interesting to hear about the OM in quite a bit of detail and how it was for you. And yeah, so let's get started, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Can I basically just get you each to introduce yourself, say a couple of things about you and one thing about the other person?
God, I don't know if I know anything about Jane.
Yeah, sure. So I guess things that may be relevant to this chat... I joined Helm Hill Runners initially when I was 11 years old, and I was quite obsessed with fell running when I was a teenager. I didn't run that much between like 18 and 25. I was more into like cycle touring and skiing and like and trekking. And the other thing is that today is my one anniversary of my Bob Graham round.
Wait, today?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Congrats.
Which is really cool. Yeah.
Cool.
And one thing about Victoria, gosh, I could say some funny things.
Oh, here. No. Go on then, drop me in it.
Well, I hear she's pretty fun after a couple of bottles of wine.
A couple of bottles? Okay. Where most people would be, right?
Well, it's just, I was working on the Dragon's Back race, and I got all these messages about a house party at Chloe's, and I think Victoria... did a good job of enjoying herself.
It's very true. Okay.
Well, you wouldn't expect it because she's very young. Anyway, I definitely admire Victoria for her ability to get up and exercise in the morning, which is something that I'm very not good at.
Cool, thanks, Janie. Yeah, I guess. Things to know about me. I'm a... What's the word? It's a morning bird? Early bird, yeah. Not a night owl. When I was younger, I played netball quite seriously. I didn't really start properly sort of running or that kind of stuff until uni. And then I joined the triathlon club at uni and then started running as training for that. And then when I moved to Kendal in 2020, that was when I more sort of started focusing just on running rather than triathlon. And started doing fell races from then, which I really enjoyed. And now I feel like I've got a good community of women, men, other people around me in the running world, which is really nice. I really enjoy it. One thing that I know about Janie is she doesn't like early mornings. But on that one October morning, we managed to get out of the tent really early and get going on the second day of the OM.
Good.
Yeah. And we'll get into a bit of this later on, I'm sure, but you know, you've both been running at a high level, and you've both been running like a lot of long lakes races, rough races, like Lakeland Classics, tons of them, Tura, stuff like that, Bob Graham's, you mentioned, Janie, Victoria and me shared a podium at the Welsh, the
Northern
Irish,
Ireland,
Northern
yeah.
Ireland Seven Sevens last year.
Closely followed by Janie.
Oh, yeah.
I'm second.
And then you just went on to the party afterwards, whereas I snuck off back to
my
friends. Yeah. Right, so the OM, can you tell us, if someone out there listening doesn't know what we're talking about, what is the OM?
So the OM started, I think, in the 1960s as like, I think it started as just like a test of how good are you in the mountains. And it's been going since then, basically. And there are all sorts of stories, I think, from like early editions and how tough it was. And I mean, it's basically a two-day challenge where you run in pairs and there are different courses. And you don't know where you're going until you pick up the map on day one. And you've got to navigate between checkpoints, carry all of your kit, and then you end up in overnight camp. It's all about being self-sufficient and kind of cooking for yourself, taking all the supplies you need, taking all the clothes you need. And then the next day you get a new map and you have to navigate back to the finish.
Yeah. I guess OM stands for Original Mountain Marathon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, like Janie said, kind of a navigational challenge, but also the challenge and the fact that you're going to be out in the hills for a long time, covering rough ground, not on paths, having to navigate to the smallest of hillocks or tussocks, running through tussocks, things like that. And then you get to camp and there's no, well, there's portaloos, but other than that, there's kind of no supplies. There's clean running water, but you would have carried everything that you need for the overnight stay, all your food, snacks, with you. So you're self-sufficient, put your tent up, make some food, go to bed, get back up in the morning, and do it all again.
And it's also on October, the last weekend of October, when the clocks normally change, so the weather's normally rubbish.
Yeah.
Or it could be rubbish. I guess you've got to be prepared for that. And I also think it's quite a bit about teamwork as well, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess not everyone who runs it maybe kind of know each other. They want to do it and they find someone to run with. But I think that's probably quite a crucial part of it as well, really.
Yeah.
Because apart from the teamwork on the hill, there's actually quite a lot of time in the dark in a tiny tent.
Yeah. We were lying on bubble wrap in I borrowed Shane's tent and we were just lying there like cold and shivering, having a good chat about something.
But you're in, because obviously you're running with all your gear, so you take the lightest stuff possible. So instead of a two-man tent, we had a one-man tent.
Yeah.
Bubble wrap instead of ground sheets.
Yeah.
The lightest sleeping bags.
I didn't have any coffee for the morning. I regretted that.
We could have stretched to a sachet of coffee.
So you have to take a stove, don't you?
Yeah. So there's some kit that you have to take.
But then, like you're saying about like your food, like you're carrying everything, so it's you've got to have a balance of
tricky to know that you're going to take the right amount, I guess. I mean, I don't like porridge, so Victoria was tucking into nice warm porridge on the Sunday morning. I had like...
You had pancakes, though.
I had like some horrible processed pancake in a bag, and it was just not that good.
But yeah, before we went, I guess, we weighed everything out.
Like, yeah, we did, actually.
So we
knew
how much everything weighed, and so that our bags were like similar weights. So we split up the tent inner and the tent outer and the poles, and then kind of... As Janie says, you don't really know how much food you want. So I weighed out the rice and sort of over-egged it. And I had to carry back on the second day a box of cooked rice.
Oh, really?
Because there's nowhere, you're not supposed to like throw anything away. Anything that you take, you like take out with you.
And I had a cold pizza and I think I finished it on the Sunday just because I was like, if I don't finish this, I'm not going to get to the end.
It's too heavy to carry now.
And it's like, even though it's all like soggy and gross and it's been wrapped in tin foil, it's like, well, you just got to eat it because you need to get up that hill. So I think roughing it, I can see why people wouldn't want to do the OM, but
yeah.
I don't know. You
it's
know,
a good test.
Yeah, you get home and you're like, wow, I did something pretty worthwhile with my weekend.
Yeah. It's so different to what you'd normally be doing and so different to any other sort of fell race, I guess. You don't usually stay out overnight or carry all your stuff with you. Yeah, you don't really have to think about that.
And I think like a big difference I found having, you know, like things like the Bob Graham is that you don't know where you're going. And like, it's not like you can recce. It's not like you can look at a map and plan or anything like that. You just have to be prepared for anything, I guess. And like over the course of the 2 days, you cross all different types of ground, like scree and rock and rough stuff and rivers.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get wet feet. I nearly fell in a river. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Nearly slid off a bridge and, like, wiped out into a river. Yeah. Luckily, she didn't. Otherwise, that would have been the end of it for us.
You touched on that. I remember. I've actually done it a couple of times. I did the last... So it used to be called the Kim.
Yeah.
International. Mm-hmm. So I have done it a couple of times. But I remember, that feeling of getting your map. Obviously, orienteers will be really familiar with this this feeling of getting the map. I think some of them even had to read the grid reference of those control points and then write them on. Not in the arm, but
I think some mountain marathons, you get a list of controls in the grid reference and you have to mark up your own map. But I think these days they mark it up for you basically.
Because that's so stressful, because you could obviously easily make
go to the wrong one.
Go to the wrong place. But so you get these points kind of as you're starting, and it's that excitement of finding the route between them.
The area, they announced the area beforehand. So like we knew it was going to, Dom was going to be in Langdale. If you don't, I guess we're quite lucky in that sense because we live in the lakes and we've raced a lot in Langdale. So we kind of knew the area, which gives us a bit of an advantage when if we see two checkpoints and we're like, oh, well, we could take this race line or whatever.
Or however, we absolutely went to places that I've definitely never been.
Yeah,
like and that you wouldn't... straight up the side of Glaramara.
You wouldn't go to if it weren't for the arm.
Yeah, definitely, you just wouldn't, no, for sure. So it's cool because you see a new perspective on the hills that you feel like you know pretty well, so yeah.
Yeah, and even if it wasn't your back garden, even if, you know, it's somewhere you'd raced before, you're not going to be going to the same places, are you?
No,
you're
no,
going to no. weird, random
re-entrance
or whatever. So, Well, we've already said, you were the first female team in the elite category. Way!
Thanks.
What did that look like on the weekend? Like, was there?
Yeah.
How many other teams were there?
There was
close
only
racing.
Well,
So
the only other team was a good friend of mine, Lisa Watson, and Sally Fawcett, who were both brilliant runners, and they could have absolutely got round, but I think Sally had an injury, and that's why they had to pull out. Although
left us as the only female team.
But on the track, we were ahead of them.
Okay.
Do you remember that? However, like... Yeah, I don't know.
But even we didn't find out that they dropped out until the end of the first day.
Yeah, we technically had no idea where they were, really.
Yeah.
You all start at different times, and then people choose different routes between checkpoints, so it doesn't feel like you're really racing anyone, because no one's ever going the same way as you. So, I don't know, maybe if you're, like, the kind of... in the elite male category, I think they're a bit more close together and maybe taking similar lines, so it's easier to be like, oh, we need to get in front of these people or move a bit faster, whereas we didn't have that kind of visual on the pair in front or ever come across them, so it's kind of hard to tell where you were in the field.
I think the year we did it, I think like 50% of people dropped out.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So yeah, I mean, there's a huge dropout rate, so in a way, you know, we could have also dropped out. I mean, it's sort of, or we could have been timed out. It's just like, still you need to get to the end and actually do it, in a way.
Mm. Why do you think so many people dropped out?
Because they're soft.
Because
it's terrible weather.
It is terrible weather.
I would rather be sat on the sofa, you know.
What was the weather? Because the year before, it was meant to be Langdale the year before, right?
Yeah. But
the Marquise blew down.
Yeah, that got cancelled because Marquise blew down. But it was also terrible weather for you.
Yeah. I mean, there was one point where we got lost going up Seathwaite Tarn.
Well, Glaramara was an absolute rain, storm, blizzard. It was just impossible to, like, barely stand up, really.
I remember it being very cloudy for the whole day and sort of on and off drizzling.
I mean, I was probably near hypothermic on Seathwaite.
Yeah, yeah. So we were going up Seathwaite. I can't remember who was navving, probably me if we went wrong. but we kind of like were going up and went to the sort of wrong... There's like two areas where there's tarns or like bits of water, and we kind of went to the wrong one. And we were trying to find the checkpoint that we thought was should have literally been there for quite a while. So like when you're finding a checkpoint, you tend to be standing around, not moving so fast. And I think we were both getting pretty cold. Yeah, for some absolutely. Reason, we decided both to wear shorts, or maybe I was just wearing shorts.
Well, I
was definitely wearing shorts. Okay. and then I think we mentioned this in the chat with Becky Vale. Like we had this year, they had GPS trackers on all the pairs, so you could watch people from home or whatever. So post race, a lot of friends kept telling us like, "Oh, we were watching you," and we were like, "Willing you to find the checkpoint because they could see us like circling round, clearly like lost and looking for the checkpoint." And then when we finally like realised and made a dash in the other direction, I think they were very relieved.
When we did it at that checkpoint, I remember just being like, right, we're off. And I just like legged it down the hill. I need to warm up.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's that thing, isn't it, of like how much do you want to finish something? You've just got to plod on despite feeling rubbish or despite the weather, despite you've got tired feet. It's like how much do you want to finish it? And some people are probably like, oh, this is too hard, let's just go home.
Yeah.
And how many people in total were they roughly sort of doing the event? Do you...
Across all the races? No. I'm not sure.
Across all the courses? I put you on the spot.
Yeah, like you were the only finishers in the elite course, but then how many, were there mixed teams? And
there was a few mixed teams.
There were definitely a few mixed teams in the elite.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe 30, 40 teams, I think, in the elite, maybe. Yeah. I'm not sure.
And so the elite, what do you think of, well, so there's the elite one, which is the longest one, and there's A, B, C.
There's just A, B now. I don't think there's a score. C anymore. And then there's short, medium, and long score,
Yeah. So the score course is you get given a map and it's got checkpoints on it and you go to as many as you can in a given time frame. Whereas the sort of elite AB, you have checkpoints and you have to go to them in specific order and then get back to the overnight camp.
Yeah, the long score is still pretty tough.
Yeah.
What are the distances? Roughly how long was your race each day?
I didn't record it.
It was shorter than I thought it was going to be honest. I think it was like...
Is it about 30k each day?
Yeah.
Maybe. But it's sort of like, as we all know, that the distance is slightly irrelevant in a way because the ground really was very rough.
And the amount of elevation also.
Yeah, and you're carrying a lot of stuff and the weather's bad and...
I can't even remember how long we were out for actually on the first day.
I think we got into camp about 5, so we were probably out from like 8 till 4 or 5 in the afternoon.
So that's 9 hours.
Yeah.
And then probably like 7 on the second day?
7 till about 2 or 3.
So they're long days.
Because I wanted to just set that down because it might be, well, it's interesting, but also might be relevant to things we talk about in a minute. But because actually in terms of distance, you know, like a long Lakeland Vale race is like, could be 35 or 38 kilometres, couldn't it?
Yeah.
So you've both, you know, and obviously the Bob Graham's 100 kilometres. So you've both, done lots of things comparable length or longer than that day. But, like you said, it's different. It's rougher and longer.
And carrying, I think carrying the stuff really makes a difference.
I think that makes a huge difference, definitely.
Like, I even think, even the way that you balance yourself when you're, like, going up or, in particular, downhill, for me, it feels a lot different with a bag on my back than when I'm just running a race with my bum bag. Like, I definitely run in a different, like, leaning further back, probably, which, puts strains on different parts of your body.
And because of the bag, you move in slower than you would on like a big Lakeland Classic race, I guess, which means that you're going to be out for longer, you're going to get colder, you need to eat more food.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's definitely a lot going on, a lot of moving parts, I guess.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other thing I wanted to ask there was, what do you think of the name of the category, calling it elite?
I was thinking about this yesterday, actually.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't really consider like myself an elite runner. And I think that is probably one of the things that put, like,
absolutely,
when we were first deciding, we were initially entered for the A, I think. And then we were like debating, oh, maybe we should just do the elite. And yeah, I think the name is a bit off-putting, I guess. I don't know what they could call it. So I'm trying to think now.
Yeah, I totally agree. I definitely wouldn't consider myself an elite runner, but I did it, so it can't be that hard.
Yeah,
but it's interesting because I mean, there's a sort of a movement out there called She Races. I don't know if you've come across this.
No.
Oh, you haven't. I mean, I was going to bring this up anyway, but it's She Races. It's sort of this movement, I guess. That, do you remember the photograph of that woman who was breastfeeding on the UTMB? And she basically has started this thing called She Races, and your race can be, I mean, I'm talking about like big races here, not like fell races, but you can be accredited as a she race if you fulfill all these different criteria.
Okay.
And one of them is actually like a realistic description of the challenge involved. Because if you make it sound harder than it is, then people will be put off. So I think the whole elite thing is absolutely right.
Yeah, that's
true. And I think that would definitely put off people who actually could totally do it.
Yeah, yeah. Because, like, I think one of the things is, like, me and you, we, like, race each other, but we're not, like, racing usually for the top spot kind of thing.
Yeah,
we're just,
having
a good time racing each other.
Yeah.
So, and I think there's loads of other females who are in that kind of same position that maybe feel put off by the name of the elite course. Like, they could even call it A+. I mean, that sounds better to me.
Yeah.
But
I only actually thought about it when I was preparing for this.
Yeah.
I suppose it's been called that for decades, so long. But it sort of maybe seems to have a slightly different connotation in modern times. You're like, oh, does it need to be called that? Just struck me.
Yeah, no, it's a really good point, actually.
Some of what we're talking about just now, I think it's important to maybe put it in the context of how few numbers of females had actually completed the elite course over the years.
Because
I wasn't really aware of this until you were chatting at KMF. What can you tell us a bit about? So you were the only female finishers in the elite last year.
Mm-hmm.
What? How does that tend to go each year?
Well, I mean, I know they've missed a few years for various reasons, but I mean, there were definitely none when I did the long score in 2019, and there were none in 2017 and 2018, I think, and 2016 was the last year.
Yeah, 2016.
When they had people complete it, I think there were maybe some DNFs since then. Yeah.
So 2016, they at least had a first, second, third female team.
Yeah.
And probably more than that, but I don't know. That was just the information we got.
I mean, I think there are a lot of women out there who could absolutely do it. Of course, we know loads of brilliant long-distance female runners. But I guess, you know, the fact that they don't do it makes it feel like a bit of a boys' club, I think.
Okay.
And you know, when I was there in 2019 doing the long score, and like there was just all these men like doing the elite, I was like, oh, am I allowed to do that? I mean, I don't know. It just seems like you'd have to like step out your comfort zone a little bit. And I even felt like when we got there at the event centre, every time I said, oh, we're doing the elite, you were like, people were like, I don't know, they were like, really? You know, it was a bit like, oh, okay. Cool. And even when we ran into that first checkpoint and we met those guys, I think they were a bit surprised to see it.
Okay.
I guess maybe like one of the barriers is like seeing somebody who looks like you or like who you can relate to on the start line doing an event that you could then be like, oh, okay, if they can do it, maybe I can do it. And if you don't see those kind of people in previous years when you're maybe like thinking, oh, could I do that course? Then you're kind of like, oh, well, no one else that looked like me was doing it, so maybe I can't do it, and that kind of seeds a bit of doubt in your mind. So you have to be quite confident to actually just be like, no, I think I can do it. I'm going to back myself. And I mean, for us, we took a while to decide to actually just do the elite course, to be honest, because we were like, oh, are we going to be able to make it?
We had a brilliant debate about this. I think I was sat in the office and I sent you that list of pros and cons. Yeah.
Because I really wanted to ask about this. So like the sort of why did you do it? Like, what made you you've already said you hadn't, it wasn't like you had loads of female friends that were doing it, and so I should do that. So what was the process where you decided, oh, we're gonna race together and then let's do the elite?
So I was entered with someone else who dropped out, and then I asked Janie if she wanted to do it, and we were originally entered for the A course. And then when we were, Janie and I were kind of speaking, I think you floated the idea. You were like, oh, maybe we could just do the elite. And it was something that had crossed my mind before.
Oh, I think
Well, either way, we were both thinking about it, is kind of the point. But hadn't quite probably articulated it to each other until that time. And then we were like, okay, let's make a pro and con list. So I think like things for me that were on the pro list were like, it's in Langdale. We kind of know that area. So we should like kind of be fine. We can be a bit more confident that we know the ground. It would be a really cool thing to say that we've actually gone and done it if we do finish it. What else?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, to be honest, for me, being like a woman's team to do the elite was definitely on the list for sure. I was like, that would be really cool if, like, as a female team, we can do that and finish it.
Yeah,
that was definitely on the list for sure.
And just the fact that I guess we're
both, you only live once, that was on the list.
We both have done a lot of long distance races, so we're sort of used to being out in the hills for a long time, and we knew that we could sort of cope with that.
And I think on the cons list was probably, well, we might fail and look stupid, but no one will probably care.
Yeah.
And, you know, another day dawns and people forget about it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, what's the worst that could happen?
Yeah. And another, sorry, on the pro list was like, it's only one night camping, like, we'll just get back and have a nice bed the next day. How bad can it be?
Anyone can suffer for one night.
Yeah. So then, obviously, the pros list was a lot longer than the cons list. So we just thought, let's do it.
No, it was cool. It was great. But it was great that Victoria asked me, because I was just like, I knew we both had a good season.
Yeah.
We'd both done loads of long runs. And as soon as she asked me, I was like, interesting. I bet we could do something cool with it. So, yeah, it's great.
Because, like you both said, you'd both done loads of long runs and rough stuff and... So once you'd kind of decided that, was that it kind of decided basically, or
basically.
Like you with the you can change what course you're doing sort of right up until the morning of.
Yeah.
But I think once we decided, there was no way that we were going to backtrack. I don't think. I mean, in the car on the way, we were like, "Oh no, what are we doing?" Because the weather was bad. It was like 6 a.m. and dark, but I mean, we'd already committed at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, really, because I remember at Kendall, you said to me, oh, I was surprised that you even doubted yourself. And I was like, well, it was like, I think women in general are just very modest about what we can do.
Mm.
Like, you know, even you saying just before, oh, you run at a high level. I'm like, do I? I just think we're really trained to be modest. And I think... Okay. This was probably a moment where we were like, oh, actually, we do know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Like, let's just own it. Like, we'll be fine.
Mm.
And that's probably, like, that little kind of, like, tipping point when you're like, okay, let's just stop being silly. Like, we can actually do this. Or at least we've got a very good shot, you know, to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I find that really interesting.
Mentality.
It's part of it, mentality, because... to me, sort of sitting listening to you at Kendall, I was like, I think you've both done loads of long races and a long time on your feet, and so I was just quite interested that there was maybe a bit of, I don't know, was there a bit of trepidation going into it? Or maybe that's
I think so.
I suppose, I mean, a lot of people will have trepidation going into it because it's tough, but my point is maybe. There are some, well, probably the men are more likely to go into it gung-ho and go, oh, yeah, we'll do that. We've done a few runs.
Let's yeah.
yeah, I guess we knew we had the long races that year to have like backed it up a bit, I guess. Yeah.
I guess looking from the outside in, people will probably think like, oh yeah, of course Jamie and Victoria could do it. Like they do loads of long races and blah, blah, blah. But there is still the sort of, God, it's a lot of nav. And if you like, you could, that sort of doubt that you have that you might just get it massively wrong and just have an absolute horrible time.
And also I think like things like with the Bob Graham, like in the last few years, I've seen a lot of women from Helm Hill Runners who have gone out and smashed the Bob Graham. They've done really well. And that's definitely inspired me to do it and being like, well, if they do it, I can do it. But I guess we didn't really have that on this, did we?
Not
really.
Yeah, no.
It's not like I knew any woman who'd ever done the Elite On.
Yeah, that's really true.
And I suppose, I'm just thinking, I probably did more of like the orienteering navigation on type stuff earlier on, and I've kind of drifted in my running career, if you want to call it that, more towards like the performance end and recce and stuff, so you just kind of know it. So I'm thinking there kind of is like more potential. Like I'd like to do an OM again, but there is like more of a potential to go like massively wrong on the navigation front.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you never gone massively wrong in a fell race.
Finley recces them, yes, so he's fine.
I've definitely gone massively wrong. Always seemed to be in Ireland that I was going massively wrong. In the mist.
I think, there were times when we went
wrong. Oh, we wrong, absolutely like, made the loads of mistakes. Great time,
There was one point, was it Green Gable, that we were like, we know there's a path at the top, but let's just contour around the side. I'm sure that'll be fine. Like mist, rain, couldn't see a thing.
I think the hypothermia just like plays with your brain, but I don't know. I mean, I guess in all honesty, like when you're cold, it does make everything else way harder. Like you don't want to eat, you can't concentrate on the map. But we were just like hanging out on the side of Green Gable on like, some rocks, being like, what the hell are we doing here?
Yeah, and then we just decided, let's go find the path and relocate and know where we are. But
I think that's really important because it shows that, like, however good a navigator you are, everyone makes mistakes and, like, you don't have to be perfect. Mm. You can still, like, do these things and, like, have little wobbles. I mean, I think the day you think you're going to get everything right is just, that's just crazy. Like,
it's non-existent. Yeah.
Like, everyone has that day when they're just not thinking straight and they're like, oh, man, I should have done this or that. And that's just me, isn't it?
I guess sort of having the experience of long races where you, or, like, even wrecking the Bob Graham or things when you probably made mistakes when you're out on wreckies and you were like, so I shouldn't do that. I should do this next time. And having that kind of prior knowledge of how you react when you make a mistake, like, do you go into like a panic or are you able to sort of like, fine, I've made a mistake, let's take a deep breath and like relook at the map and go from there. I think that's definitely a good thing to sort of know about yourself, or maybe to try and learn before you sort of go into something like the OM.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's also, I guess, just getting a bit of long distance experience under your belt in a way, because you know, when things don't go to plan, you sort of have that reference point of like how to deal with it, and you just kind of crack on and it's all okay and you don't lose your mind or anything. So
and even if it is a problem that's like not happened before, like something completely that's never gone wrong before, I think even from having experience of other things that have gone wrong, you like know, okay, it's fine, like I just need to take a breath, think about it, and I'll be able to solve it, sort of thing, which definitely gives you a bit more confidence to do elite courses.
How quickly can you put the mistake out of your mind and just go back to basics and kind of get on with sorting it out?
This doesn't make us elite runners now, Victoria.
I write that on my CV now.
On my Instagram profile.
It's an interesting talk because I just think it has some negative connotations now, elitism.
Yeah.
I'm sure weren't meant with the title, but maybe also weren't.
Yeah.
Didn't seem to feel that way when it was coined.
The phrase gets bashed about a bit, I guess, and it's like,
Did you have any specific team prep like coming up for it? Did you Was there anything particular that you had to
We went
to do?
For one run on Hell oh, yeah. together. That
the day
good.
After a race, a long race.
I think it was so the day we after tired. Langdale.
Yeah.
So we'd both done Langdale as an English chapter race, and we both raced pretty hard and done pretty well, and so we were pretty tired.
Yeah.
And then we went out around Helvellyn in the mist.
Yeah.
And I think I marked some checkpoints
you
on
did.
A map.
Yeah, yeah.
Or was it a bit of the mountain trail route?
Oh, it was, I think it was an old, oh, yes, an old route. Of, yeah, yeah, trail. Yeah, it was, yeah, yeah.
Victoria yeah. took a rucksack with a rope in it.
Well, it was because we'd done the race the day before and we were doing it the day after to kind of simulate the tired legs carrying something.
Yeah, yeah.
Navigating.
I admired her dedication.
Yeah.
But we were the only ones up there, weren't we? And yeah. And it was good. And I guess we just chatted about
what food we were going to take.
Yeah, and about the challenge and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, that was it, really. I mean, it was sort of October and it was busy because there was the relays and all of that yeah. going on. So, yeah.
Yeah, you had a lot of running.
Yeah, it was
bank.
A pretty intense.
Yeah.
At that point.
Yeah.
It was an intense 6 weeks, that for sure.
I don't know if this is a good question or not, but how hard would you say actually felt in the reality compared to what you'd imagined?
I think that
That's
is a good
tricky question.
Yeah, I think it was sort of as I expected, very wet. There were some times when I was like, why are we here? Times when I was kind of like, ugh, this isn't what I want to be doing. But then, like, there was other times when I was like, oh, we're actually moving quite well and we're like ticking off the checkpoints, look at us go kind of thing. I think on the second day there was hail, and when it was hailing we were going over a crinkle crag.
Yeah, that was pretty dire that.
And I was again wearing shorts. So I told
well,
Janie
I made
that
a
I
stop
need Janie made us stop.
And put on everything yeah. in the rucksack that we had. It
yeah.
was quite close to the end, I think. By that point I think we knew we were probably gonna get round fine.
Yeah.
But we were very cold and I was like, we need to stop and put on everything we
yeah.
have.
But I think, like, coming back to your point, how was it almost compared to what I thought? Like, I kind of didn't think we'd have so much like advice to give each other sort of out on the route. But like when Janie was like, let's stop and put on all the clothes, I was like, of course, that makes so much sense. Like, I'm so glad Janie's here kind of thing. And I'm sure there was other times when like we'd made nav decisions and I was like, of course we should go that way. Like, it's great that Janie's
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I had a pretty low moment on Grey Friar and you took some of the tent off me.
Yeah.
And I think it, you know, we definitely had, but on Crinkle Crags, I think I was feeling a bit stronger. So we definitely
yeah.
had moments where I was strong, you were stronger, and I think we did complement each other well in that way for sure.
Yeah. And that was something that I hadn't really thought of before as like something that would happen, even though it seems so obvious now.
Yeah. Yeah. But how it compares to other things, I mean, I mean, it's just one of those things where it's rubbish weather, you just plod on, you just get it done, really. But, I mean, compared to the Bob Graham, I think it was, in a way, it was probably harder.
Okay.
Because I wrecked all the Bob Graham. I had really nice weather.
Yeah,
I was surrounded by really nice people who were like,
people carry your stuff.
I didn't carry anything. I knew exactly where I was going. It was just a lovely day out. But the Om, it's like the absolute opposite of all of that.
Mm.
I mean, obviously you don't go as far, but I mean, for me, the bad weather was probably the most challenging bit. Because I think if I wasn't doing the Om, I probably would just be at home on the sofa.
What, looking back now, what's the best thing about it, or about your achievement?
Quite a few people from Helm have come up to me and just been like, that's so cool you did the Elite Om. It's like, really? It's all like after the weekend passed, it just turned into another cool weekend in the lake. So we had a
yeah.
great adventure like so many others. But
yeah,
I think it has actually, like a lot of people have said to me, like, oh, that's really cool you've done that. That's like a big kind of
achievement.
A big thing to have done. So I guess that's nice.
I think looking back on it, I'm kind of just like, it's, yeah, like almost like type two fun. Like you're kind of looking back and you're like, God, we were out there in that weather doing all the nav, like being super self-sufficient, And I think that's a really, big achievement in itself. Like, there's days now when it's raining and I'm like, God, who would be outside? But then I'm kind of like, wait, well, we were, and we were able to do all of that stuff and run that distance and do the nav. Like, it kind of gives you confidence to be like, oh, whatever the weather is, I can go outside. And I know that because I've done this event before.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, like, looking back over the last few years, like, every time I've kind of done something like that, it kind of gives you confidence to do something else, I guess.
The next thing, yeah.
Kind of, like, leads on to what's next after the Elite Arm? I don't know. Well, I know what is for you.
I'll ask you that at the end. I suppose I'm interested, sort of going into it, like you said, you didn't know other women who'd done the Elite Arm. Like, did that sort of add pressure, like, going into it? Did you feel under quite a lot of pressure to...
No.
Yeah, I don't think...
No, I don't think so, not for me.
Yeah.
I'm just a bit like, it'll be what it'll be, really. And if you don't do it, then, you know, it doesn't really matter. Yeah.
I think, kind of, as I alluded to earlier, like, it's that thing of, oh, I don't know anyone who's like me, who's done this before. So it's a bit like, oh, hopefully we can do it. But I didn't feel under pressure to, like...
I think I would have been disappointed.
I would have been, actually, saying this.
On the Sunday, Victoria said to me, oh, you know there's, like, a cut-off on F-Pike? And I was like, really? And I think at that point, if we'd have then been cut off, I would have been really like... this is not good, because we've gone through all this and we're not even going to get a result.
Yeah.
So I was not feeling like super energetic at that moment. I think we were somewhere on the Coniston Fells, and that absolutely like spurred me on just to be like, right, marched on, just get on with it. Because now we've come this far, I definitely just really want to finish.
Mm.
So that was great that you said that.
Positive pressure.
Yeah.
Do you hope you'll be an inspiration to other women to do the Om, or the Om Elite in particular?
Yeah, I guess inspiration's maybe a big word. I don't know, like, I guess it is kind of inspiring that we're the first female team to finish in a while. But just more just to, like, show people that, we're not, like, super elite runners. We've kind of just set a goal and achieved it, and... I think that even if you're not, you don't need to be super elite or elite to be able to do this kind of thing. And it would be great to see more women out there taking on the challenge.
Yeah, I think for me personally, the whole role model inspiring thing, I kind of like being in the background of it. I don't always love talking about myself, but I think it gets to a point when you're like, well... you know, if you kind of want to see more women out there, actually maybe you do need to put yourself out there a bit to, like, be that example, because, you know, actually it probably will encourage people.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like an uneasy yes, probably, but it's probably good, but...
Yeah.
That's probably just me being, like, modest and stuff. But, like, I wrote a blog about my Bob Graham, and... I was a bit like, oh, there's loads of blogs about Bob Graham and whatever. But I was just like, well, actually, you know, someone I know might read that. And if it gives them a few tips to inspire them to do it, then that is a good thing.
Yeah.
So I was like, you should share stuff, because actually, if no one shared anything, then no one would have any point of reference to go off and do things. So, you know, there is that moment to stop being...
And I guess we were talking before, Janie, about, like, the knowledge transfer kind of thing, and that almost forms part of it, like, writing down what you've done, and or just even a Strava trace, whatever, with, like, a few comments. Like, if somebody sees that, then you've sort of given them the knowledge of, like, oh, someone else has done it, or, like, this is what they took, this is what they carried, this is how long roughly they were out for, and I could prepare, like, to be out for that time. Sort of thing. So
we were just saying earlier that is maybe something that there could be a bit more of in Feldman, and a bit more of this knowledge sharing, because, you know, people who've got a little bit more experience, you know, and passing on that knowledge, because how does that happen? I mean, I guess through running clubs is a big one, but I think there could always be more of it, really.
Yeah, if you don't know the right people, how do you get to know them to learn skills? You made me think of, because I'd be like yourself, Janie, you were saying, you don't really, you're not sort of setting out to be a role model or be an inspiration to someone, but you're sort of acknowledging, well, actually, if you are doing things, then, you would be seen by people doing that. Yeah. My friend, Rach Crewe-Smith, has a phrase about stepping stone role models or proximal role models. So like it or not, people are going to kind of look up to you if you've done something like that.
Yeah, so
you may as well sort of own it and
that's a really good point.
And that's, I quite like that idea of the stepping stones of people around you might pick up something, like you said, Victoria, like if it's a Strava thing that's kind of just given a bit of inspiration for a route or an adventure.
Or just knowing like simple things like what trainers are the best to wear, like mud claws or trail shoes.
What's a good like first time fell race to do in the latest script, or like
what should I eat? Do I need to have gels or can I take normal food, kind of thing?
Yeah. Or like, how important is this nav here? Or like,
Where's the best race line?
Because you forget. Because if you're experienced, you sort of you say, oh, it doesn't matter. You can just do this or that.
Yeah.
But you forget that someone coming into that, they
it's not obvious to them.
It's not obvious. Yeah. They don't know what things are important. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, you just take it for granted. And yeah, definitely.
Moving on a bit. We kind of talked a bit about this. How does the term gender equality sit with hill running?
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you mean exactly?
how is it for women in fell running now?
Yeah.
Do you feel things are good? Do you feel things are equal? Do you feel there's more that could be done?
I mean, way less women on the start line on every single fell race I think I've ever done.
I think, a good point about this is Three Peaks last weekend when they announced over the Tannoy, today we've got 1,000 competitors or something, about 750 men and 195 women. And you're like,
that's crazy.
Oh my, well, my initial reaction, I think I was having a conversation with Phil at that point, but I like heard that out my corner of my ear and I was like, I'm sorry, that's like 75% male and almost like that split is just crazy. Like why is that such a big divide? What can be done to make that more equal?
Absolutely, but it's like that on pretty much every start line, I think. Yeah. I remember Blisko Dash last year, there were 7 women and like 45 men.
Yeah.
And even at the teenager, there were 20 women, I think, and like 100 guys.
Yeah.
And I was absolutely stood on the start line just being like, wow, there's like no women here.
Yeah.
And I guess it doesn't bother me, but it probably could bother someone else because they're like, oh, do I belong here?
I think it only doesn't bother us because we're so used to that. Whereas like, I think initially when I started doing fell racing, I was kind of like, coming from a background of netball where it's very like, there's always loads of girls around because netball's mainly a women's sport. And then going into fell running and you're kind of like, God, this is strange. I'm not competing just against women or females.
I kind of feel like it's still like people out in the hills, you know, it's not a normal thing for people to see women out running in the hills.
Especially together. Alone.
Yeah. I mean, I've been literally applauded for just going out on a Saturday running around, like walkers literally clap for me. Has that ever happened to you? And I remember I was running along the shore of Ennerdale Walls last year with Kat Slater on our Lakes Traverse, and someone shouted out, #, this girl can! And I was like, yes, I know I can. I do this every weekend. Mm. But I guess the point is, like, people just, like, still think it's a bit weird to see women out doing that kind of stuff. And actually, it's pretty normal for people. I mean, I don't know whether they're just trying to be nice, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it weird? I don't know.
I think there's still a big barrier. There's obviously a lot of blockers for women to be able to go to races, I guess, in particular. Like, I think there are more women who are just out in the hills than there were before. But I think, like, in terms of racing, it's also a bit different. There is definitely still a big divide there. And it's kind of hard to know what can be done to bridge that gap. I think, like, some of the things that we've sort of touched upon is just in previous sort of conversations, is just like thinking about if cut-off times for races necessarily need to be like there, or like as stringent as maybe they could be seen to be. I've often overheard conversations of women like talking before the race, like, oh, I'm not sure if I'm going to make the cut-off time, blah, blah, blah. And I appreciate, Janie, you raised a good point earlier about like the marshals. Obviously, they have to be out on the hill, and the longer that you leave a cut-off time, the longer people have to be out, and it might be bad conditions. But if it's like 10 or 15 minutes longer, like maybe that would just give women a bit more comfort to think, oh, okay, that seems like a doable cut-off time, rather than being there at the start being like, oh, well, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to make it because the cut-off time is so stringent. And that puts you under pressure on the start line, and you're already sort of doubting yourself. And I don't think that's like... that's not a comfortable thing to feel, and it would definitely put people off going to races.
And I do sort of feel like it would be amazing to have more female race organisers, because I don't think that's that super common, I don't think.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I can't really think of maybe the odd Kendall Winter League race, but off the top of my head, I wouldn't say any of the big stories in the Lake District are organised by women. I don't think so. But that would be amazing. Imagine a woman like on the start line saying go and then presenting all the prizes. I mean, for me, that seems like quite a rare sight, I would say. And I think, you know, when a woman is looking at a race and considering whether she wants to do it, you know, if there was a woman that she could talk, like a female contact in a way, because I think, you know, we need to acknowledge the fact that fell races are pretty like skeleton operations. I mean...
Yeah,
you know, it's like £13 to enter Teenager with Altitude, and that's great. So it's like, what can you really expect? But I think it's just that community, isn't it? And like having, you know, if it's a certain club organising that race, having a woman from that club who doesn't mind just getting on the phone to someone and just telling them about the race and what to expect.
Yeah,
that might like settle some people's nerves, maybe.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Do you think sometimes the wording for races is puts people off?
I think sometimes if there's definitely a massive focus on like, you must be the best navigator in the world to be able to do this race, that kind of puts people
and
off.
And we all know that the vast majority of followers cannot navigate.
Yeah, they just follow behind whoever's in the lead. so, and I appreciate maybe there's like some kind of insurance like arrangements there, like they have to make sure that people can be able to navigate, so there's not loads of people just getting lost on the hill. But maybe just tone down some of the language, or kind of like Janie says, like be realistic and like offer somebody to talk to, maybe who can just be like, oh yeah, so there's like this part that of the route that maybe like you need to just think about a little bit, or like there's this line that you could take that other people might know. Like, I'm not saying that races don't have the sort of capacity to be able to offer like recces or things like that beforehand. That maybe would be something that like clubs can organise themselves for their female sort of members, but just having somebody who could give you a little bit of advice and make you feel a bit more comfortable would be good.
And yeah, and I also think like down to like club level or like groups of friends, you know, like, look at the women that you know, and if there's someone who wants to do a particular race, then, you know, just be like, offer a bit of support or a bit of guidance or a bit of help. I mean, you know, it wouldn't be much if it was one Saturday morning, you take them round and you show them something and they're like, oh, actually, I could do that. It's not as hard as I thought. And so just offering a bit of support, even if it's just to the women that you know.
Yeah.
It's like a little thing. It's like one tiny little step. But, you know, if everyone did that, it'd probably encourage a lot more women, maybe.
I think, the sort of amount of confidence that as a woman you maybe need to feel to be able to enter the race, that kind of tipping point of, okay, I feel confident enough, I'm going to enter, it's a lot higher than probably like the male kind of,
for sure, definitely,
tipping point is.
I mean, my first long fell race in the Lake District was Borrowdale, and I'd set my sights on that for some reason. And I wrecked it twice because I was so nervous about it. And someone from Helm Hill actually did come with me on the first one, which was really great of them. And I guess I prepared. But, you know, I guess that's still quite bold of me to do that, I suppose. And it still requires a bit of skill to be able to get myself round and have a look at it. And I was absolutely flummoxed by how anyone could possibly get round in, like, under 5 hours. But I just did it anyway, and I surprised myself.
Some of that probably even goes back to how boys and girls are sort of brought up in different with different expectations and different in a different way.
Yeah.
I loved when I interviewed Jasmine Parrish. She was telling me she has brothers, I think, two other brothers, and she said that she was just treated exactly the same, and anything they were going to do, she was going to do the same. And I thought that sounded like a really good upbringing. So she didn't feel any
like there was any boundaries,
because she was a woman.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of sort of societal issues that are still kind of, like you say, like, push women into certain categories and maybe men into other categories. And obviously fell racing, we're not going to break down those barriers, but there's just a few things, I guess, that, like,
I mean, it always bugs me a bit when people are like, oh, you're so competitive, and I'm like, yeah, so that's not a bad thing. And I do wonder sometimes whether, you know, being competitive is seen as a bad thing for women to be, like, if they want to win or if they get upset when they don't
perform
as well as they want to, like, I'm just like, that's not a bad thing. It just shows they want to push themselves, which is great.
Ambitious,
so I've done a couple of races that are sort of, well, one of them has extreme in the title, and I wondered if that's sort of, you know, and there's the, what are the other, like the Tough Mudder things. I've never done one, but those kind of things, like, they're I feel like they're marketed to sort of a male mindset a bit, maybe.
I mean, Janie, you're in marketing.
Yeah, it's true. No, I do think about this a lot, for sure. I think that's probably right, and I think that definitely puts off a lot of women, definitely, without a doubt. And, I mean, actually, I think it was the year in 2019 when I did the OM, and I saw the messaging they used to accompany it that year, and I was just like, I don't remember what it was, but I was like, that's not what it's about. Oh, maybe that's what it's about for a very small amount of people. But for me, they just got that a bit wrong, because the OM is like, it is a community. It is, you know, lots of people go and do the OM. I remember we went past some people who were just sat there enjoying the view.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not all about extreme stuff. People just plod around the short score and have an absolutely lovely time. And it doesn't have to be an absolute suffer fest. Yeah,
that's really true, actually. We have a mug from one of the OMs from a while ago that Phil did. And like you say, the description on the back is like,
you're just like, really?
Yeah, it's just like, you will be out for so many hours and expect to have a rubbish time and blah, 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 blah.
That was it.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, oh, well, it's not always like that. And there are times when you can sit down and admire the view, or like, have a laugh and a joke with your friends, or like other competitors out on the hill. Like, we ran past loads of people, because there's people doing all sorts of courses.
Yeah.
And you just have a bit of a chat sometimes. Like, it's quite nice. It's quite a nice environment.
Yeah, I wonder whether, you know, like maybe women out there like value those like social interactions and that feeling of community and, you know, the possible friendships you can make, or the people you can see and catch up with. Like, I think that's a really important part of a lot of races.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, what really sells, I mean, from my experience of working on, like, the Dragon's Back race, I am starting to feel as though, you know, a huge reason why people don't do these races just because they just don't think they can.
Yeah.
And that really just puts them off, male or female, to be honest. And so, yeah, just an honest, like, description of, like, what's actually involved and, like, the benefits that you can get out of doing it.
Yeah.
But also, I absolutely find that having really realistic guidelines for, like, actually how fit do you need to be to do these things would be very helpful. And, you know, there's so much chat on the internet these days about training and whatever, but, like, an honest description of, you know, if you want to do Ennerdale Horseshoe, what could you have done before? You know, what stepping stone races are there?
Yeah.
Like, how do you get to the level to be able to do that? And then someone's got a clear path of, like, okay, if I do this and that, then maybe, you know, next season I'll do it. And I guess that's a bit more of that supportive. It's like having that supportive tone rather than the, are you tough enough kind of tone,
yeah,
which is
it's
just
different.
It's quite isolating, isn't it? It just, like, leaves a lot of people out. People are going to be like, no.
Yeah, even if they can do it, they're probably the market, yeah, it just puts them off. Yeah.
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 Yeah, thinking about the community aspect of running, like, I've been away quite a bit over the winter, but I actually just really wanted to get back to Fort William because there's like a really good kind of scene of people doing stuff, all, you know, flat sessions, big hill runs, just all sorts. You sort of don't maybe, sometimes you can kind of not fully appreciate that. But actually being away from it made me think, actually, that's really good that there's people,
encouraging you and motivating you. Yeah.
Now, probably Janie's challenged me that there probably aren't enough, we probably aren't actively, there's probably enough women invited on those things as.
Yeah, you.
So that's something, yeah, for me to think about.
Very good.
But
you're learning something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think community, particularly for women, like, I've had so many, because I'm from Kendal and I moved back here about 5 years ago. And since then, I've met so many, like, absolutely amazing women. And, like, so many of them have said to me, like, oh, this is just amazing. I'm actually around people like me and who understand me and who want to, like, run across the Lake District one weekend. And it's, like, really, it's quite rare, I think, and that's actually really special. And you can kind of encourage each other and support each other to do things. So, yeah, and support each other to be competitive as well. Like, Victoria and I have definitely had some good races. And that's a good thing too.
Yeah, I think Langdale Horseshoe last year. I remember I was, like, running up one of the, maybe the second to last hill, and there was a lady on the side who was like, woo, go Janie! And I was like, I'm not Janie. And then I was like, oh, Janie's, like, right behind me. I better move. But I was just like, go Janie. And I was like, wait a second. And then I was like, ah!
I did not know if you knew. I was like,
no, I didn't. I thought I was like having a great time. I was like, Janie's way back.
I was like literally like 3 steps behind you coming off Pinnacle Crags. But it's like really fast bit after that down to Pike Blisco. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to catch up. That's Victoria's strength. But it was quite an exciting finish. Yeah.
It's really fun, that sort of the mix of, like, being competitive with your friends and, yeah.
Yeah.
Pushing each other on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. I don't think we'd ever, like, we hadn't done anything as a team before then. We'd always raced against each other, but doing the OM together. I mean, we know that we're, like, similar ability. So I think it was kind of like an obvious pairing, but... Yeah, it's a different feeling doing it together rather than being like, oh no, Janie's right behind me, or like, oh no, Victoria's right there. Yeah, it's good.
No, yeah, I think a bit of friendly competition is always great, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. It's funny, when you did Teenager last weekend, I was like, oh God, I better check my time from the year before and see if it was faster than Janie's.
And what was it?
It was like a minute faster. I was literally like, phew. But yeah, maybe I'm a bit too
competitive.
I
should have known your time going into it, and then I could have aimed for it. I didn't know what your time was.
Sorry, sidetrack.
what I'm still keen to hear about what you were telling me about your plans, I think, a while ago. Maybe we could kind of move towards that to kind of finish on that.
What are your plans, Janie, for this year?
You've got something on way more exciting than me. Victoria's doing Dragon's Back.
Ah.
Yeah. Yes, I am. 380-kilometre race over 6 days.
Okay.
From Conwy Castle to Cardiff Castle over all the hills in Wales.
You're gonna smash it.
Yeah, it's a hard one to comprehend because we do like long fell races, but nothing as long as like 380k, even divided by six kind of thing.
So how long is it each day?
It changes. I think it's the first day like 49k, and then there's a couple of days of 79k.
Yeah, the longest day I think is about 75 or yeah. something like that. It's pretty big days.
But there's lots of elevation, yeah. So in kind of preparation for that, over Easter bank holiday, me and my partner Phil, we went out and did the Far Eastern, like all the fells in the Far Eastern Wainwright book over 2 days.
That looked really cool.
Yeah, which was a really good, that was like a really good route to plan because you have to figure out how to link all the Wainwrights up. And it turned out to be like 40K on the first day and then a bit longer on the second day with like a fair amount of elevation. So I think it was quite representative of what some of the days on the Dragon's Back will be.
Sure, yeah.
But yeah, then when I got back after those 2 days, I was like, God, I'll have 4 more days of that. So yeah, a bit nervous, but also looking forward to it.
Really exciting.
Yeah. Go on then, Janie. What are you planning?
Well, nothing like massively concrete or specific at the moment. I did recce a bit of the Paddy Buckley over Easter with Lisa.
Mm.
So I think we're going to like hang out in Wales in June to maybe do a bit more of that. And I mean, if it's good weather, we were maybe going to run each leg over like a few days.
Yeah.
And I guess if I enjoy it, maybe I'll just do that. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
If you've recced it.
With the Bob Graham under your belt and...
Yeah, so that might happen, maybe.
That's cool.
Yeah, if Lisa convinces me.
Yeah.
Great terrain. Which part? You know it quite well.
We did Capel Curig around to Lamberis, basically. So the majority, I mean, I've been over the Glidders and the Clannadoc lots of times, so that was definitely the bit I didn't know at all. So yeah, it was really nice, actually. And to be honest, it was just so great to like get out in mountains that you don't know and just go somewhere new and like have a bit of an adventure. I mean... I something else I think that definitely motivates me a lot is just going to new places, you know, going on new adventures with different people, and like, you know, I want to do a lot more camping out this summer. I think that'd be really cool, and just going to new places, really. I mean, I love racing for sure, and I'll definitely do lots of fell races and lakes, but I'd also like to do a bit more of that as well. So whether that means in Wales or Scotland or
One thing that's inspired me recently is Sue Richmond. I don't know if you know Sue. She's like an amazing navigator. Is it Dark Peak or Pennine? I always get confused. Pennine. Maybe it was last year now. Did the Rigby round. Yeah, and she was like super stringent on like, she'd like not been to the Cairngorms at all because you're supposed to do it on site.
Yeah.
So she like had been really stringent about not going to the Cairngorms and... she absolutely smashed it. I don't know how long it took her, but I mean, she's just incredible navigator.
I read her.
Yeah,
she did a thing in the Fell Runner about it, and I read that, and that was very cool.
Like Sue amazing. Is so. There's like the Kong Mini Mountain Marathons, which are like 4 hour, similar to the OM, but only 4 hours. You don't have to carry overnight stuff because you're not staying overnight, but you need like to be able to navigate. You're given checkpoints that you go to the different points, and Sue is usually always there, and I'm often there as well, and Sue will very frequently beat me just because she's so good at navigating between the checkpoints, whereas I'm kind of like going ham on the running and like, how fast can I go? But Sue's just like so on it with navigation that it makes her move so fast through the hills, and it's seeing her do that Rigby round was just really inspirational for me.
You'd be good at that. Definitely.
So yeah, maybe that's on my radar. Although I have been to the Cairngorms a couple of times now, so it wouldn't be as...
I mean, I also really like the idea of doing something big solo, for sure. Mm-hmm. Definitely. I don't really know what.
Ramsey round.
I don't know. I mean, like, oh, it's not the same as the Bob Graham. Sorry, Finlay. It's just the Bob Graham's my local hills, you know. I have done the tramp around over 2 days.
Okay.
So it was great. It was great. I mean, like, yeah, I may be going back to do the tramp around in one go. That'd be good.
Yeah. You've done that, haven't you? Yeah.
You could both go opposite ways.
And race each other.
High five in the middle.
Why not?
God.
Well, hey, thanks very much, Janie and Victoria.
Thank you for
chatting through all that. It's been really fun. And yeah, wishing you both best in the future.
Thanks. And you.
Cool.
Thank you. This has been episode 28. And see everyone next time.